Your next promotion is just the beginning, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 193. Today's episode is for you if you are somebody who wants to move into a different industry, into a different subject matter expertise, or if you are somebody who doesn't want to be pigeonholed into your subject matter expertise, but is still looking to transition into executive leadership. It was actually inspired by a question that I received about how do I transition into executive leadership if I don't want my boss's job, which means you want to switch into a different group. So how do I still continue to transition even though I don't have 20 years experience as that subject matter expert? Today, I am sharing with you exactly how you can make that transition and how that transition will actually open up more possibilities for you in the future. All right, let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I'm your host, Stacey Mayer. And super excited to be here with you again this week. I just came back from a short vacation at the Russian River in California. And the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because of the Summer of Magic. And part of what I have been promoting this summer is our ability to get promoted even while we are on vacation. And the reason that this is so important for us to know as a possibility is because of the inherent desire as women to work really, 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 really hard and then crash completely and feel like we're completely out of the workforce, we're completely stepped away, we're completely checked out. And then we come back to work and we have to make up all this time because we completely checked out while we were on vacation. And while that complete checkout is really important for us to refuel our tank, one of the reasons that we have to refuel in such a dramatic way is because we have overextended ourselves while we're continuing to work. And last year, when I created the Summer of Magic, it actually happened by accident because I was on vacation and a woman emailed me that she was promoted to vice president role while she was on vacation. And I was like, well, yeah, of course, because you've done the work, you've put in the effort, you've had the conversations. And then she was able to go to vacation and enjoy herself, but she wasn't completely checked out. She wasn't like, oh my God, I have to get out of here. I have to run away from something. She had done the work so that while she was on vacation, the work kept working for her in her favor. And my goal for this year's Summer of Magic is to really give you and show you how these possibilities and opportunities are available to you as well, that you can actually tap into the Summer of Magic right now and create so many abundant opportunities for yourself. So before I get into today's episode, I want to share with you the win that I came back to when I returned to my house after going to visit and kayak in the Russian River with my family. This was a private message that I received on LinkedIn, so I will call her Becky. And Becky was promoted to marketing and communications manager this past week, and she celebrated with me. I wanted to reach out and thank you for all your incredible work and content that you provide. I have been listening to your podcast and following your posts over the last couple of years. I have built the confidence to be able to earn 2 promotions at my current workplace. My latest promotion has just come along while I am also 16 weeks pregnant. I read an incredible article not long ago about the benefits of promoting women before they go on maternity leave, and that was my goal. You were a huge part in inspiring me to make this happen. Thanks again. Here's to a strong and promising career for a strong mom to be. Oh, I'm so excited. This message makes me so happy on so many levels. I just really want you to know that so much is available and possible to you, and we don't have to kill ourselves to make it happen. So congratulations. I am just absolutely thrilled for her, for her organization, and for what's next for really all of us, because this is such an example of what's possible. And I'm really glad that she shared that. On today's episode, it was actually inspired by a conversation that I had inside of a colleague's mastermind group. Her name is Melody Wilding, and she's the author of Trust Yourself, and it's an absolutely fantastic book. She's a great friend of mine. I've had her on this podcast before. We'll make sure we link to her episode inside of the show notes. Inside of this mastermind, she had a series of questions that she wanted me to answer, and there was a very particular topic of discussion that came up that I thought was so valuable, and I realized I'd never recorded a podcast episode on this, so I was just going to do it this week. So the question that was asked to me was, how do you approach advancement when you're in a high-level role, but you don't want your boss's job? How do you rally support from executives who don't necessarily grasp what you want to do next? One of our members is a senior manager of investment reporting, but she wants to do leadership, team, and culture development as her core role. And I immediately knew the answer to this question of how she can begin to show other individuals at her company her leadership. And it was such a great answer and produced such a good discussion inside of the group that I wanted to share it with you today. So essentially, I want to paraphrase her question a little bit because it's very specific, but it's also incredibly universal. So a lot of you are looking to transition from being seen as a subject matter expert into executive leadership. Now, you can be in a vice president position already, but not have that voice at the table, not be in a role that is particularly suited to you for the rest of your career. Like when you think about retirement, you're like, I can't imagine staying in this role 1 minute longer, more or less advancing in this role. I still have 20 years until retirement. So what the heck am I supposed to do? And what comes up for a lot of women is switching into other departments or other subject matter expertise. And this becomes a huge fear and problem for a lot of women because they haven't fully transitioned into executive leadership yet. And what I mean by that is, again, you could be a vice president, you could also be a senior manager, but you don't actually understand what it means to be an executive leader. Because the problem that a lot of women are facing is that they still see and identify their value based on their subject matter expertise. So based on what you've been doing the longest. So if you've spent the first 20 years of your career working in a certain way, then it's very logical for you to feel like, well, the only way that I can advance is to do more of that. But in previous podcast episodes, I've shared with you how executive leadership is actually a complete career shift. You're shifting into basically a new career choice. And I think that while that can feel daunting, it is actually freeing. And here's why. Because if you think about the guidance that you received when you graduated college, the focus, the intention, your ability to start out and to not have all the answers, right? All of those things that actually worked in your favor when you were a naive 22-year-old starting out in your career are something that could work in your favor as a 35-year-old, but you have to embrace it as starting a new career. So in this particular case, what she's looking to do is to shift into executive leadership. So even though she's already in a senior level role, she's in a senior level role in her particular subject matter expertise, and she's looking to move into a different subject matter expertise. So my first answer is to always understand that you're shifting careers, right? And so when we shift careers, we have to explain to other people why we're qualified to shift into that career, right? Why we are qualified to work in that way. Now, I want to go back and I want to give you an example that's actually from a movie. It's a movie about two parents that give their children a yes day, which means that the parents have to say yes to everything the children want to do for a full 24 hours. And it's a delightful movie. And Jennifer Garner plays the mom. But the point of the story actually doesn't have anything to do with the actual act of yes day. At the beginning of the movie, Jennifer Garner's character is applying for a job. And in her previous life, prior to becoming a stay-at-home mom, she was a vice president of marketing. And so in her mind, what she does is she goes and applies for an entry-level marketing position at an organization. And she's in the interview, and I couldn't help but bust out laughing because I was like, oh my God, this is not, it's not necessarily messed up. She's just going about it wrong. So I'm going to tell you everything that happens. It's not a spoiler alert at all. Basically, she goes into this interview and the woman who is interviewing her is the vice president of marketing. And she looks at her skills and she's like, man, this is amazing. You've been a vice president of marketing. And, you know, she's been a stay-at-home mom for 13 years. There's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home mom for 13 years. But the woman who is interviewing her looks at her and starts laughing. Why are you applying for an entry-level position? You know, this is something that I need to give to a newer person entering the workforce, somebody who's willing to work late hours, but then also who doesn't give a shit about her life. That's kind of basically what she said. I'm paraphrasing it, but she was like, you're incredibly overqualified for this role. So she wasn't knocking the fact that she had been a stay-at-home mom for 13 years. She's saying, you're overqualified for this role. So the problem is that Jennifer Garner's character didn't see herself as an executive leader anymore, right? So back when she was a vice president of marketing, she was like, oh, I can lead at this vice president level. Why? Because her subject matter expertise led her to that point for so long. And she was like, I'm ready to go, right? And so when I was laughing, I was like, oh, I know the advice and the coaching that I would give Jennifer Garner's character if she really, truly wanted to enter the workforce. Now that's the first question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we really actually ready? Do we want to transition into executive leadership? So assuming that the answer is yes, you're 100% on board for getting a highly qualified position as you make this transition, then this is how I would coach you, right? So you have to want it. You have to be ready to transition into executive leadership. And then I would have told her, go for a vice president level position. Now, she may have argued with me and said, hey, I've been out of the workforce for 13 years, and that's going to be hard for me to explain. And the answer is no, it's not. No, it's not. And so back to the woman who asked this question in Melody's group, she can totally transition to a completely different department and not have to take a step back. I don't think that's the way she was asking the question. She doesn't want to take a step back. But I want you to see that that's where our mind goes, that we have to take a step back, that we have to start over. When I talk about transitioning into a new level, a new career path, we're not starting over in that way, right? We're not going to go back to an entry-level position just because we don't understand the subject matter expertise. No, no, and no. What you have to do instead is you have to understand how you think and communicate as an executive leader. And these qualities are universal, regardless of your subject matter expertise. So what I would have told Jennifer Garner's character is I would have said, do you want to be in an executive leadership role, right? We would investigate that first. Then the second thing is if the answer is hell yes, then I want to say, why are you qualified to be in an executive leadership role right now? Now, the problem is that she has a 13-year gap in her subject matter expertise. She doesn't know marketing today. She doesn't know the trends of the industry. She can't compete with a millennial for this position. But what she does know is how to be an executive leader. And then we would write down all the different ways that she is ready and capable and overqualified to lead at the executive level. Then she would go after that position, and that's how she would position herself. She would say, hey, I would build out a team that knows the latest marketing trends. I don't need to be in the weeds doing that work. She has to over-identify as an executive leader. So same thing for this question for Melody's group, right? Is that we're going to over-identify in our executive leadership. So if you're looking to transition from one subject matter expertise into being an executive leader in a different subject matter expertise, you first have to get the point of the triangle, which is executive leadership. You have to understand those qualities that you already have as an executive leader. Now I'm going to take another sidestep, and I really want to show you how we commonly bridge this gap. We commonly bridge this gap with our skills, correct? Right? So if you are a stay-at-home mom and you're looking to go back to work, what she would have done without my coaching is she might have said, you know, hey, I want to come back as a vice president. That's what I left as. And then these are the skills that I developed as a stay-at-home mom that apply to being a vice president of marketing. You're not going to get the job, my friend. You can't compete on a level of skills. If you have a 13-year gap, you're not going to be able to compete from a skill set. You're just like, you're trying to brainwash them. You're like, you're not actually an executive leader because you can't see the writing on the wall. You don't see the problems that they face, right? You're being stupid about it, essentially, right? So same goes if you're going to switch industries. You can't be stupid. You can't say, hey, I can compete just like other people who have a 20-year subject matter expertise in this area. So don't try and bridge that gap with your skills, all right? So what you really need to start doing is to understand that point of the triangle, which is your executive leadership, which is transferable skills, versus the bridging the gap for yourself. How do my skills in this subject matter expertise align with the skills in this subject matter expertise? We're never going to do that again. Please, it's very natural. This is the way we have built our career up until this point, but it's not what we're going to do ever, 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 ever again. And I really want you to see this. You cannot bridge the gap with your skills. You have to bridge it with your executive leadership, which is the only thing that is transferable when you switch career paths. Otherwise, you're going to have to start over. You're going to be annoyed because you're going to be a 40-year-old with 20-year-old managers, and you're going to hate your life after 5 years. You're going to be sick of being told what to do, and you're going to be like, why am I even bothering? Like, no, I want to save you from this pain and suffering. Plus, you're going to be underpaid and overqualified, right? Like all the things. And that's basically what this hiring manager did for Jennifer Garner's character. She's like, why would you take this role? You're going to be underpaid and overqualified. You're going to be miserable in 6 months and quit. She's smart. She gets it. Okay. So now, how do we bridge that gap? How do we bridge that gap from one subject matter expertise into an executive leadership role in a different subject matter expertise? And the answer I already gave you is through your executive leadership skills. And so what you want to understand is, how do I think and communicate like an executive leader? Those are the transferable skills regardless of your subject matter expertise. So there are a couple of ways that we can begin to think and communicate like an executive leader. And if you're at an organization and you're not looking to switch industries, but you're just looking to get promoted into executive leadership, this is the exact same way that you're going to do it. Okay. So this is the exact same thing that you're going to need to do if you want to go from being the subject matter expert where you are to executive leadership. It's the exact same thing. You start to show your work. So if you're in the job and you're just looking to get promoted in the same group, you need to start showing how you think and communicate like an executive leader. But today's episode is really focused on switching industries. So if you are going to go from, and it is switching industries, if you go from a stay-at-home mom to back to work, if you're switching industries entirely, but you want to continue to stay at that executive leadership level. So now you're going to show them how you think and communicate like an executive leader versus bridging the gap of your unique skills. And you're going to do that in three ways. You're going to show them how you make decisions. You're going to show them how you do hard things. And then you're also going to show them number three, which is how you go against the status quo, right? So first thing, showing them how you make decisions. The reason that this is transferable is because you're not directly solving the problem based on your subject matter expertise. You're solving the problem based on your ability to make decisions. And so you would bridge that gap by saying something like, whenever I'm given a problem that I need to solve and it has these three factors, right? So when I have to decide on a certain thing, now you could talk about your subject matter expertise a little bit, but you're framing it around your ability to make tough decisions, your ability to choose between one way or another and hold your team accountable. So you're showing them the why about how you make decisions, right? How you believe things to be true, how you're able to bridge the gap for your team whenever you do decide on something and create a plan for execution, right? So it is above your subject matter expertise. This is universal. This is how I make decisions. This is how I create a timeline for my team. This is how I hold them accountable to that timeline. The second thing is how you do hard things. And this is really just, have there been instances in your career where you had to solve hard problems, where you had a difficult employee, where you had an inability to engage with executive leadership, but yet you were able to surpass that? This is something that a lot of executive leaders have to deal with on a regular basis, is doing hard things. And you just want to show them that that's something you've been doing all along in your area of subject matter expertise, right? You can continue to stay in your own lane, but you're going to show them, how do I solve hard problems? And then you can say, even in this field, this is how I would continue to solve hard problems. It's the same. I've been doing this forever, right? And then the third piece is how I go against the status quo. So in executive leadership, there are two things that they actually do not want. And one thing is adversarial people, just people who are problems. They don't want to work with an executive team of people that are annoying, that are always complaining, that are kind of like don't really have any ideas to solve the problem, but just want to share them with the entire executive team. That is a very annoying person. And then the other thing they don't really like dealing with at executive leadership are yes people. And it can kind of seem that way that they do, because they end up getting an executive leadership team that looks, thinks, and acts and talk like them. But here's the facts. You don't look, think, and act and talk like the executive leadership team. And especially if you're switching industries, you're not going to be able to be exactly like them. So let's just do our own thing. And so what you're going to do is you're going to show, how do I get engagement at the executive level? How do I get buy-in for my ideas? How do I push the status quo while still getting buy-in from executive leadership on my ideas? And you're going to give examples that you've actually done in your own career path and examples of how you've turned people around, especially at that executive level. And that becomes a universal leadership trait. So do you see how this works? We're bridging the gap by showing them that we can think and communicate like an executive leader. We're not bridging the gap through our skills. Again, they can see right through it. They'll push back. They'll be like, this person just doesn't get it. They don't understand what I need. And on the other end, we're owning the fact that we're ready to step into executive leadership, that this is the role that we are uniquely qualified to do, regardless of our subject matter expertise. I often tell the women that I work with, the best thing that you can do for your executive leadership career is to pick an industry that you know nothing about. If you want to have work-life balance, if you want to get yourself out of the weeds, pick an industry where your team knows more than you. And then sell your leadership on your executive leadership skills, you will be in the happiest career of your entire life. That is how we maintain our energy. That is how we start to get paid for our ideas, not for the hours that we work. That is how we find greater fulfillment and passion, and we really start to see our own value as a queen, as a corporate badass. as an amazing woman that you really, really are. Because that is when people value you for who you are, for the ideas that you bring to the table, not the number of hours that you put in each week. And when you can start to do that, and I've seen it over and over again, when the women are the happiest and they work the least amount of hours, they get paid the most, they have the most respect, they actually have that voice at the table, they're constantly included in conversations, they're able to take vacations and enjoy themselves, and they create that summer of magic. They continuously create more and more and more magic and abundance in their lives. This is completely available to you, but you have to start understanding for yourself how you are an executive leader already, and then communicate that to executive leadership and be willing to work in an industry that you know nothing at all about. All right, my friends, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.